Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to a bonus episode of Mind Below, where we talk all things aliens and outer space and universes and multi-universes and about humanity and whether or not we're made in the image of God and like all the curious things. And we dusted off this whole season for this one bonus episode on aliens and the gospel with my good friend James Scholl, of course, co-hosting, and Joanna Lafleur is here to talk all things aliens. And this is mind-blowing. What if we're not alone in the universe, guys? What if there are like other life forms and other worlds and God is sovereign over all of us? This could change everything. Don't be afraid. Listen in, tune in, and let's discuss mind-blowing mysteries of the gospel. So Joanna Lafleur and James Scholl, welcome to this bonus episode of Mind Blown. We have dusted off the season, come out of our various busy holes that we've been busy working in during this longest lockdown of everybody's life, because there was an announcement. There was a revelation that has happened in the world. And I feel like because the world is so crazy right now, it's like nobody has really even talked much about it or thought much about it, except you beautiful people. And particularly
Joanna. Stop talking about it.
Yeah. So Joanna and I were like somewhere and she's just like, okay, Danielle, like we have to talk about aliens. And I was like, do tell me more. And so apparently, because I'm not really big on the news these days, because it's all a little bit scary. But
got to avoid the news right now.
So yeah, anyway, for my mental health. Same. But, you know, so Joanna, tell me a little bit about what you heard and what's been discovered. So then we'll kind of go from there.
All right. The brief story is that no one's paying attention to, but from all the sort of major news outlets, they are saying this is not just maybe the story of the year. They say it might be the story of the decade, but no one's paying attention, is that the Pentagon, the government, military forces within the U.S., so not just sort of outlying conspirators or conspiracy theorists, are saying that there are confirmed sightings of, they don't call them UFOs, but that's what we would know them as. The common person would call it a UFO, unidentified flying objects that are seen, that have been recorded, that are seen consistently by military personnel, high-ranking officials, have seen these with their own eyes, have interacted with them.
So, and is it true, like, first there was this guy that kind of outed them, like an official that retired or something, and he said, by the way, like, this is like a real thing, like there's literally like a special project in the military that, like, there are these things that we can't identify, and we know they're legit, and it's—
Well, okay, there's this guy named, I'm going to make sure I get his name right, Bob Lazar. Yeah. Bob Lazar, there's a whole documentary on him, if you want to watch it on Netflix. He was always this sort of kooky guy who claimed that he worked not at Area 51, but like a place down the road from Area 51. So in the
MIB, it's called MIB.
Area 51A.
Area 52. And so he had so he worked in that region and he claimed that he was, you know, he was a scientist. And the story was in the 80s, he was recruited because of his background in physics and science to essentially go and kind of experiment on like, what are these hidden in a warehouse, these spaceships, these UFOs, we've got them. We don't know how they work. We need to understand them. And Bob Lazar says to the world, I worked on these and I can tell you what they look like. I can explain to you how we didn't understand how they worked, but we can tell you what they did. They were doing tests on these out in the desert. And he says many people saw these. So then the government says he never worked for us. We don't know the guy, but he seems to provide reasonable proof that he worked there. They gave him a paycheck. He's got he's on lists of previous employees.
Right.
So all to say, like, there's an example from our local Toronto Star, like a big newspaper in our country of Canada. The headline says, evidence suggests UFO whistleblower Bob Lazar was telling the truth all along.
Right.
And now the Pentagon is coming out to verify that they have seen spaceships.
Legitimately the first I've heard of this. I feel very behind right now.
Okay, first reaction. Listening,
be like, yeah. When did this happen? You're not alone.
Okay, so this is why Joe and I, we couldn't stop talking about it, because we're like, okay, this could be the most important thing that we've discovered in this like age.
In our life.
Yeah. And we're just busy talking about like vaccines and like this global pandemic. And like the future of the church and like all this stuff, when like it could actually be, we might actually connect with the larger created universes here. Mm-hmm. Like this could be a whole new way of viewing life. And then so Joanna, because she's a theological, I'm going to say nerd, but with a love language heart after it. If there was an emoji here, I would go with a heart. She's like, what does this mean? Like theologically, what does this mean if we're not, you know, if the earth and even humanity is not the center of the story, which I think is so hilarious around the mind blown conversation where we've just been like, oh, this is what we thought. And then maybe like, whoa, maybe it's different than we thought. Maybe it's more than we thought. Maybe we were wrong about some things and this is good news. And I thought like, maybe this is one of those things.
Right.
I suppose what's interesting is that every time there has been a significant scientific shift or revelation, there has always been a lot of pushback from Christians, and because we love the idea of being at the center of the story. And I think that's okay if God looks at humanity and says, you are very good and you're created in my image and likeness. It's okay to say, well, humanity is good, important, and loved, and those are good things. But the amount of pushback about the idea of maybe the earth isn't the center of the universe, a lot of pushback, a lot of people burn at the stake over that one.
Maybe the earth isn't flat.
Maybe the earth isn't flat. A lot of pushback to that one. Yeah.
Right.
Flat, then a heliocentric universe was problematic or wasn't.
Right.
And then, of course, well, how old is the earth? That's been a big point of contention as well. How did humanity get here? That's been a big bone of contention. It seems that every time there is an interesting scientific revelation, there has been a gut reaction pushback by Christians rather than be like, okay, what does this reveal about God and humanity rather than why are you wrong? Which is where we seem to default and then we get lost there. So let's start embracing this with open arms and think about what this reveals about God and humanity and not be immediately scared away by it. I think that's a good place to start.
Yes. And I think it's fascinating that every time we think about aliens, even if it's a common culture or even in our mind, for some reason, we think of aliens as negative, with the exception of maybe E.T. He's the only
scary unknown here to attack us.
Yeah, they're coming to get it. Like they're so I think even when I was when we were talking about like we're going to talk about aliens, and then James sent me this like YouTube video on how like if there is superior life force out there, they're coming to get us. And I was like, this is like the dominant view. Like if there's someone that's smarter than us and better than us, they're coming because we have this like competitive worldview, right? Based on sort of an evolutionary idea of like the highest predator, you know, wins kind of thing, the strongest. And I actually wondered, first of all, I was thinking that's interesting that that's our first impulse to think that if someone's smarter, stronger, more advanced than us, then they're coming to actually wipe us out. They're our enemy. Instead of maybe if there is a people who are more advanced than us, they see collaboration as a more advanced idea over competition. Like maybe they're coming to help us out. Like maybe they're like, geez, Earth, like, can you get it together? How can we help? I mean, I don't know, but I just think it's fascinating that as soon as we think there's maybe some sort of existential threat of like life on other planets, we're like, oh no, we're going to be doomed. You know, it's always this apocalyptic idea. But Joe, you have your theological questions that you were asking.
Well, that's where I think we said, what if we recorded some of this? I think I have more, I hope that's maybe the point of the podcast is that we have more questions than we have answers, and that's not a bad thing.
No answers on this podcast. There's no answers.
Well, the last time I met an alien.
I mean, mean, one of the guys who's sort of, you know, being interviewed about this on CNN, you know, some sort of expert. Well, how can you be an expert in unknown things? I don't know. But they're interviewing this guy and they say, well, you know, if they're real, then why haven't they tried to make contact with us? Mm-hmm. And the response was something like, when you go to the zoo, do you talk to the animals? No, wow. You just go and observe them and you're curious about what they do. And so it was sort of this cut at us saying the technology that they're seeing, yeah. Sort of the way the military has summarized it is, it's one of two outcomes. The technology they're seeing is so far in advance, it's either they estimate between 100 and 1,000 years in advance of the technology we have. I can describe it further for you, James, if you would like.
No, do it. It's an egg or something, right? Tell James more about this. You got to catch
I'll
him
tell
off.
You about that in a sec. But basically, okay. What it comes down to is the technology is so advanced, either there is another military power on Earth that has a technology that we have no idea how they got it and how they've hid it for so long, mm-hmm. which seems very unlikely because obviously American intelligence, it's their job to know, maybe not how to do it, but to know what other countries have.
Yeah.
Or most likely because it's so advanced, it's actually not from Earth at all, which is why they've concluded they think it's from another place. Mm-hmm. And so therefore it's this like far advanced technology. One of the things, like, for example, there's this high ranking military official. We can link in show notes to some of these YouTube clips of them being interviewed on, you know, national news. This isn't a secret thing anymore. They're on Fox or they're on CNN or they're on the major news channels. And he's talking about how when he was up in his, he was, he was a pilot, but based off of a ship out in the ocean. And he and the other guys are multiple planes all in the air, aircraft all at the same time. They're all seeing this at the same time for a long time, not just a second. This is like 10 minutes of their life. And they describe it as a giant tic tac because of, you can all imagine a big white tic tac, but they say it was like 20 feet high, like a huge tic tac in the air. And it had no propelling. It had no seeming like, you know, when you can tell a heat source, like we have technology to see heat coming off of objects. It was going so fast, but created no heat, which our physics, that's impossible.
Right.
It would see it go from like 60, 80,000 feet in the air, then drop down to the surface of the ocean. In a moment, like the speed that this thing could move in multiple directions. And then it would go under, and they watched it go under the water. In no way did it change its ability to move in any direction, its speed, et cetera. Right. It could move above, below. It was just moving. Like they said, it was almost like the best way they could describe it was like when we think of magnets, there's a force pulling it that we can't see, but we have an understanding of what a magnet is. Well, we have no idea what this stuff is, but it's
moving. It's an angel pod.
It's an angel pod. Anyways, and it seemed to know, one of the other things that he was saying was that it knew where they were going before they got there. So it would get there first.
Right.
Because like if they said, we're going to, I don't know, go 5 miles to the south, the thing would get there ahead of them. Not because it was fast, because it could anticipate what they were going to do. So this is a very powerful device, this object flying through the air. And there are many other accounts of,
or it's Gabriel's they don't all look the same.
Yeah, they don't, all these objects that people are seeing, they don't look the same, but what people describe them doing is very similar.
Right. Like the hovering, the moving.
Yeah, the way they move, the way they come through water, the way they don't seem to have propulsion, like propellers and things that we would think you would need, you know, jet fuel, things we would need to move through the air.
Asking me about this, you were basically saying to me like, okay, so how does this affect the way we view ourselves? Like in terms of the creation, the order, humanity's place in the created order. And it was funny because I was just like, I thought Larry Norman already cleared this up when you were talking to me because he has a song. Do you know Larry Norman? He's like the godfather of Christian rock and roll. And he has a song called Unidentified Flying Objects. And it was sort of like in the season of like the rapture kind of. Mm. And the idea was that he's an unidentified flying object and he's going to take us home. It's kind of, but he has this one line of which, you know, we don't think that's a thing. But anyway, he has this one verse. It says, and if there's life on other planets, I'm sure that he must know. And he's been there once already, and he's died to save their souls.
Ooh.
And I was like, whoa, okay. That's a whole thing that Larry Norman already figured out. But then the other thing I thought about right away was The Silent Planet. Have you read the trilogy by C.S. Lewis?
No, The Silent Planet. I need to.
So the premise of the idea, and so this is like kudos to C.S. Lewis, who is actually really good at this concept of holding multi-universe before Marvel ever thought of it. This multi-universe idea of God being the creator of many worlds and us sort of discovering them. But the Silent Planet idea is that all of the multi-universes are talking to each other and they're interacting with each other all the time, except Earth, because of sin, because sin separated Earth from the connectedness of the universe. So they call Earth the Silent Planet. That's the whole thing. And so that's kind of an interesting thing. And again, back to this, like, we consider everyone else through the lens of our own maybe brokenness, but maybe actually, I don't know, maybe things could have been different if we had things can be different if we choose differently. We know that for sure. But like, you just wonder about like the whole history of humanity and like, how could things be different? Right. And maybe things are different in other existed universes.
It leads me to wonder, like, the bantering that we were having, Danielle, previous, I start going on rabbit trails around, the meaning of life and what has a soul and what doesn't have a soul.
Right.
What is the soul? And then I ask questions like, what is it made to be made in the image of God? We as humans and our scriptures teach us that human was made in God's image. And what do we mean when we say that? Mm-hmm. What are the things that separate us from an animal, or, you know, we are animals, I guess, but what is the thing that separates us? And if it's intelligence, well, there seemingly might be something more intelligent. So what is the implication to us if there's something smarter than us out there? Is it more image of God than us? I don't know. What is it that makes us imago Dei?
We definitely want to be careful saying it's intelligence. Just that can become an intellectual snobbery very quickly. And I know that's not what you're going for.
Or a Holocaust.
Yeah. Or just we start on a genocide again, which we'd prefer to stay away from.
Right.
Certainly. But again, that says to me that there's the complexities and nuances of humanity are this wonderful, brilliant thing. And you need a 50 IQ to graduate to getting a soul. Well, that's a problem for 1,000 different reasons. And especially if we have, is important to all three of us, that idea of, you know, the least being first, the last being first and the least being most, and the least of these being where we connect with Jesus. Yeah, we need to, you're raising some interesting questions of what separates us. I think this also raises an interesting question of, again, ideas of, in souls and heaven and animals and what that means. But if we think the kind of what the garden looked like and how that's God's original design is, God's original design is us hanging out in a garden with a bunch of animals, right? Like that's the, and we can go as literal or as, in a piece, we are connected with one another, with all of nature, like both, you know, trees and streams and animals, everything created, and God who walks amongst God's own creation.
At the beginning and at the end, that's the picture.
Yeah.
No hostility, no brokenness in terms of like the created order. Created order comes back into harmonious oneness.
Yeah. And the idea even, and even our ideas, this is a problem, as you said, our rapture theology that's like, we can just burn the earth. Mark Driscoll, who says like, I'm not going to drive. I drive an SUV because if you drive a minivan, you're a mini man. I'm like, you're very insecure. But like when Jesus comes back, he's burning this all up. So let's just trash the planet, which is so antithetical to so much of what we see in scripture. The importance of creation, even when you look at Jeremiah 4, where people's sins of mainly sacrificing their own children, but their sins and the way that they've abused other people are so great there is an uncreation. We see a reversal of Genesis 1 and 2 in Jeremiah 4, where things start to fall apart, because that's what happened. The weight of sin is that things start to break. But of course, that's not what God wants. What God wants, I think, is a more whole and peaceful and united
creation. Well, so I wonder about, like, part of the fear is that we have to be special. Like, so this is also one of the things I was thinking about when you raise some of these questions, is what does it mean to be made in the image of God? And how is the entire created order part of our stewarding of the image of God? So we, I think just the way that we're prone to think is very like individual and very independent and very separate and distinct, but maybe actually our image bearing is how we live in relationship with every created thing. So it's less about like, we're made in the image of God and the earth is not. You know, it's not like this, like we are and you're not. It's like, actually we are meant to steward this thing in the image of God. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
And I think, well, but at our heart, we think that we still, when I was younger, I used to ask my mother, which one of her children, me and my sister, that she loved more. And it used to really upset me that she said, both of you, I love you equally. I'm like, no, I need to be loved more. That's the most important thing. And now I am an adult. I'm really pleased my parents loved us equally. I think so much hurt and damage we see done to children is when they clearly favor one child over another. But we still kind of have that with God, like, prove that you love me more.
Right.
And the idea that there isn't enough of God's love to go around, not only to humanity, but all of the created order.
Yeah.
I'm preaching on Jonah right now. I love Jonah. And one of the things that happens in Jonah is even the animals repent in Nineveh. And the last line of Jonah is like, I care about these people and the animals. Yeah. So the idea that God created animals.
And one of the key characters is a plant.
Is it? Yeah. There's like four characters in that, and one of them is a plant.
A whale, a plant.
Yeah. Jonah and a king. Jonah and a king. And sailors, the end. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, why would God?
Although
create
now there's a fifth character who's that guy who just came through the news.
Did you hear about that? That got about swallowed by a whale?
Yes. Yeah. I mentioned him as well.
Like, okay. Last week.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like we're in a real mind blowing season. Like, I don't just mean of the podcast, I mean of the world, right? Like, this is a mind blowing season.
Yeah.
And I think, Joanna, the reason, and James, the reason why I wanted to dust this off and put it in the season is because I think you're exactly right. Joe, is like to not be afraid of the questions and to not be afraid of the unknown, you know, like, what is it in the old days when they were making maps, you know, on the edges of the maps that they didn't know, they would write, this is where the dragons live, right? There be dragons.
Yeah.
And because of course, dragons are the only thing out there in the unknown. And, I think the very opposite is true. When we're with God, we know that there's a lot of things that we don't know and a lot of mysterious things and a lot of things that are still yet to know, but that to understand that his sovereignty is way beyond, you know, right, way beyond ours. So like, I mean, I think Larry Norman was right, where it's like, if there's life on other planets, I'm sure that he must know, right? Like,
not a surprise to him.
It's not a surprise to him. And again, like, there's room in the boundless love of God for other people to be created in his image and for his glory. And, you know, I think what it does do is it threatens our centrality.
Right. Which, well, like, the same with Copernicus, when Copernicus says the earth revolves around the sun.
Right.
People were not happy. It changed our humanity's entire understanding of themselves at the center.
Right.
So I think if this is true, according to the Pentagon, we seem to be being told again that we're not the center, and it does blow your mind. It changes
and so if
how
you
view things.
Yeah, but if you don't hold too deeply to that, like, I must be at the center, it's a little less discombobulating, you know? So one of the things I was talking through with you was how my kids are kind of unfazed by this news, which is maybe why this isn't such a big deal, or at least the deal that it should be. We think, like, guys, like, hello, this is like a big deal. One is that I think it's been so popularized in movie themes that people aren't surprised. Two, I think people are so, like, genuinely, like, anything could happen right now that they're just like, yeah, sure, of course there's aliens. Like, what else is happening? And then I think three, like, for my kids, I mean, you know, I've just been reading Chronicles of Narnia to them. And like the very first book of Chronicles of Narnia is that there are these like portals to all these different worlds that Aslan is involved in and like have different contexts and different kinds of people. And so like for them, and then plus they've been watching Marvel, you know, universes their whole life and the multiverse of Spider-Man and like this idea of there being, you know, other people and other things and Star Wars. I feel like we've been so conditioned in, I think maybe in a good way at saying like, oh, maybe we're not the only thing going on or even the biggest thing or the center thing of the story. And I think that's kind of like worrisome in some ways, but also kind of cool in other ways. Like maybe this is the right time for this conversation.
Mm. I think one of the most exciting verses, sorry, I'll be the theology nerd for a second. So it needs to be one of the most important, beautiful verses that I go back to over and over again is in Colossians, where it says that God is pleased to reconcile all things to himself. And I'm like, well, this is just more things. These are more things that are going to be reconciled. A book that I love has a line that I love that talks about God restoring everything and the final line being let everything be redeemed. Right. And I don't believe that. Like, I believe that everything will be redeemed. And we're seeing part of that play out.
Like things that you know, things that you don't know.
Yeah.
Things that are beyond your understanding. And like, let everything be redeemed.
Yeah. Let everything be redeemed.
The 80% of the depths of the ocean we haven't even gotten to yet, even on Earth.
Those weird ass fish with teeth and stuff. Yeah. Like, God will redeem that. And wouldn't that be amazing? Like,
these things that we thought were extinct, thousands of years ago that they've rediscovered in the ocean. Ah.
Let all things be redeemed.
Yeah.
Also, John 3:16, which sounds kind of silly because that's like our big verse, but actually, the world, for God so loved the world. The world is actually not the world in that translation of scripture, it's the created order. Yeah. So like I had this big aha moment where they even have Bibles where they'll substitute your name in for the like, for God so loved Danielle, which is true, except not quite true in terms of the book.
It's better than that.
It's bigger than that. Like I am not, it's so much bigger than the world even. It's the created order. So if the created order, we've understood the created order to be like the universe but like it turns out the created order might be bigger than that.
Everything Elon Musk touches. In his spaceship,
redeem all things, even Elon.
Even Elon Musk.
Even Elon Musk himself.
But and Danielle, you've hinted at something that the individualization of faith, especially in the Western world, that we could do that with it. And like, so God so loved me, God did. That's wonderful. I celebrate it. But then all of a sudden, this verse becomes about me rather than the person I like, the person I don't like, the person that may or may not believe, the person that's been wounded, the person that's doing the wounding.
The person that lives on another planet.
The person that lives on another planet. Yeah,
Right. And also, I think, again, back to this kind of, even when we think like we've been made in the image of God, I think, again, the temptation is for us to like singular it out. It means I've been made in the image of God, and then therefore everything else is a competition or some sort of like elaborate like value system that I put on, like I'm worthier because I've been made in God's image, instead of my value is actually connected in the relationship between all the things, right? And that's back to that Lisa Sharon Harper session that we did, where she said like that perfection of creation in Genesis is not just the individual things themselves, but the way they connect with one another. So again, the image of God is reflected in our connection with and our collaboration and our stewardship of, rather than our control and dominance over. So I think that's interesting about collaborative versus competitive, and how maybe sin itself is just this like drive towards competitive thinking and like hierarchical living, right? So even the idea that we've said like humanity is the pinnacle of creation and all other things are underneath humanity, it's kind of like, why? Why is that the thing? Why do we do that thing? Like, what if just humanity are the great stewards because they were created last? Like, maybe they're the ones that are like, guys, you got to like, you know.
Well, actually women were created last.
Right. So technically the hierarchy should start with us. Right. Okay. Now I've changed my mind. I'm back to hierarchy.
Yeah. I know. I just thought I'd see what you'd say to that.
I'm happy to submit to both of y'all. So that's fine.
It's this, I think this challenge where so quickly all of it, look at those sinners, all those Christian sinners, but it's so easy then for especially those who hold that evangelical, go tell the whole world, the good, like the great commission, go into all the world, baptizing, making disciples. This thing becomes so arrogant so quickly, where we have the truth. It's exclusive to us.
Yeah.
And we know a secret, and we have this, we can then, rather than share it, actually use it as power over.
Yes. And we're the chosen ones.
Yes.
And anyone that challenges that is our competitor that needs to be dominated.
Correct or corrected. You're either foolish or a threat.
Yes. 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 And so that's what was interesting when you brought this up, was I was thinking, okay, there's life on other planets, potentially, obviously, if they're creating spaceships. So instantly it's threat, you know, or instantly it's ignorant or whatever, instead of, wait, maybe there's another option. Maybe instantly there's like cousins we never knew about that like also commune with God. And like, maybe if they're this much advanced, maybe they have like better ways of communing with God. I don't know. But like, I just think, I don't know. It is mind blowing.
It's really opened up my dating pool. Go to like a whole other place.
Right.
It's not working out here. Just
go
hop on board one of those spaceships.
And guys, this is not a cry for help, but Joanna LaFleur is open for dating, it would appear. So if you know anybody, but speaking of like pinnacle of creation, we do have some high standards there. So
extraterrestrial or otherwise, we're casting a wide net.
We're looking for a highly evolved life form. We'll give you contact in the
notes. Not.
It's not a secret where you can find her. She lives in a tic-tac, a giant tic-tac hovering over Lake Ontario. Just joking. Not yet.
That's it.
Okay. Next year. I don't know if we've blown anybody else's mind, but I didn't know that we could have a series called Mind Blown and then have the announcement that like alien technology is like a legit thing that's been found and not just some crackpots in Phoenix smoking weed or dropping acid that have seen it.
Yeah.
So right. I was like, okay, wow. And then I think the theological questions around what does this mean kind of really fit with the framework of the Mind Blown podcast, which it means this. We don't know. And there's more to learn. And like, there's a mysterious faith and presence of Christ in the world, the mystery of Christ that has been revealed through the person of Jesus, but is like the implications of that are like, you know, like endless. And this is the great mystery that we're trying to lean into. And there's room for everybody, even those from the Twilight Zone.
Let everything be redeemed.
Let everything be redeemed. Take giant Tic Tacs. The thing is, will they be slimy? That's the real question.
Aliens. That's your concern, eh?
Furry.
I feel like if they're not slimy, it's going to be hard for me. Like anything insecty is going to be difficult.
To any alien overlords currently listening, I'm totally at ease with whatever.
I welcome you.
It's going to be for you. It's just, I'm going to need some time. I'm going to need an adjustment. That's all. I'm just saying, you know. Okay, that's it. That's the wisdom of the alien podcast. That's the mind blown. That's the Larry Norman, C.S. Lewis, like who's your theologian? That's the gospel, obviously, but let everything be redeemed.
Oh, that's Alves, Ruben okay. Alves.
All right. And then this is John 3:16 coming at you. This is Joanna LaFleur from Word Made Digital podcast, by the way, guys, check her out. She's got a really snazzy interview coming up this season, I think. I'm excited about it.
But you mean the one with you and your team?
Yes, that's what I was thinking about. But also every interview is good on yours. So
well, some of them are anyways. Thanks for having me.
None of them are as good as this one, Alien Life Forms in the Gospel.
It doesn't fit my podcast series right now. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, but I wish it did because I want to talk about aliens with everybody I meet. I made some crack I was consulting with a church a week ago and I made some joke about Jesus coming down on an alien spaceship and didn't land well. I didn't think it was funny.
Not the aliens, but the joke, right?
They didn't get my joke. I realized right. It was really out of left field. They didn't.
But I actually wonder, out of space, just like we took James by surprise here on the whole, like there is alien. I actually wonder how many people have missed that announcement in the midst of like trying to avoid the news and also just like not believing half of what we hear. That's interesting. So if you, this is new to you, go check it out, guys. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, go. We want to send you some links, but I mean, just Google it. Go on your phone. Find there's great clips on YouTube.
Yeah. May the love of God compel you to go further than anyone has ever gone before.
To a galaxy far, far away. Amen. Yes.
Their soul. He's an unidentified.